my God, I think I know what that is. Wait a minute. That is, Tom, that's the Perry Mason theme. Perry Mason, funny stuff, they don't even look alike. They're not even close. What made you do that? That's not my, you know that's not my theme. Tom, what made you do that?
You don't like that.
Well, I don't
I
like that.
Oh, Christ. Well, now sure, Bob.
Wait, really, this is ridiculous.
Here comes your theme.
This is getting ridiculous, you know that? Hi everybody, Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, a half an hour of comedy presented every week here on KCRW, Friday nights at 9:30, except for the second Friday of every month when we are preempted by the Santa Monica Chamber Music Concerts. But since we don't hear violins in the background, we know that this must be the comedy show, and that's what it is. Tonight, we're going to be listening to the terrific comedy of Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks with their 2,000-year-old man routines. These exist on four separate records recorded over a span of 13 years, and I've edited them together so that they will form one contiguous routine. I won't pretend that you won't notice some of the spots that I've edited them because the records sound different and you'd notice, but I still think it's enjoyable. Besides, the original records were heavily edited anyway from improvised performances, so I guess that... I'm allowed, right? Let me read you just a little bit from Gary George's liner notes from their latest record, which will give you a little background on Reiner and Brooks. The 2,000-year-old man actually was born in 1950 when Carl Reiner bought a $138 Revere tape recorder, plugged in the microphone, and instead of saying, "Testing, testing," turned to Mel Brooks and asked, "Is it true that you were on the scene of the crucifixion some 2,000 years ago?" As Brooks's imagination took flight, the old man uttered his first remembrance of things past with a moan of, "Oh, boy." Inspired by the genesis of the old man, Reiner and Brooks regularly began falling into improvised interviews at parties, in cabs, at script and production meetings of their show of shows, at the theater, and on the phone. Word quickly spread, and Reiner and Brooks' routines soon were requested at social gatherings of media and show business associates on both coasts. At one of these evenings, Steve Allen urged them to record the material for a friend of his at World Pacific Records. He left them the option to decide whether to release or burn the tapes at a post-mortem in the studio. After 3 hours of listening to and laughing at their tapes, they began to edit what resulted in 2,000 years with Reiner and Brooks in 1961, introducing the medically certified bimillenarian to the rest of the world. Two other records soon followed, and then they went off to their own individual successes. Carl Reiner went on to produce the Dick Van Dyke Show, winning zillions of Emmys, and we all know what happened to Mel Brooks. They were persuaded to get back together again 10 years later to record one more record, this 2013, by Joe Smith of Warner Brothers Records. And that's it for Reiner and Brooks. I should mention that these records contain lots of other routines on other subjects other than the 2,000-year-old man, and some of them are really very good. And perhaps one day we will do a half an hour of the non-2,000-year-old man routines of Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks. But right now, let's get to the edited version of the 2,000-year-old man.
About 4 days ago, a plane landed in Idlewild Airport. The plane came from the Middle East, bearing a man who claims to be 2,000 years old. He spent the last 6 days at the Mayo Clinic. Sir, is it true that you are 2,000 years old?
Oh, boy. Oh, yes.
You are it's hard to believe, sir, because in the history of man, nobody's ever lived more than 167 years, as the man from Peru was claimed to be. But you claim to be 2,000.
Yes, I'll be, not yet. I'll be 2,000 October 16th. This one, yes.
You will be 2,000. When were you born?
When I was born, close to 2016 till this October the 16th, I'll be 2,000 years young. How we say young, you know?
Yes.
Not to curse ourselves, you know? So there was little groups of us sitting in caves and looking in the sun and scared, you know? And we didn't know. We were very dumb and stupid. Yes. You want to know something? We were so dumb that we didn't even know who was a lady.
But they were.
Hundreds of, they was with us. We didn't know who they were, you know. We didn't know who was the ladies and who was fellas.
You thought it was, they were just different type of
fellas. Yes, just stronger or smaller or softer. The softer ones, I think, were ladies all the time.
You know? Well, how did you find out that they were ladies?
A cute, fat guy could have mistaken him for a lady, you know? Soft and cute.
Who was the person who discovered the female?
Bernie.
Who was Bernie?
Bernie, one of the first leaders of our group.
And he discovered the female.
Yes.
How did it happen?
He
How did
said,
it come
hey,
to pass?
There's ladies here.
I'm very interested to find out how Bernie discovered the woman.
Well, he...
How did it come to pass?
He, one morning, he got up smiling. So, he said, I think there's ladies here. So I said, Marshal, well, what do you mean, you know? So he said, of course, in the night, I was thrilled and delighted, see? So then he went into such a story that it's hundreds of years later, I still blushed.
Sir, could you give us the secret of your longevity?
Well, the major thing is that I never, ever touch fried food. I don't eat it, I wouldn't look at it, and I don't touch it. And they never run for a bus, there'll always be another. Even if you're late from work, you know, I never run for a bus, I never ran, I just strolled jaunty, jolly, walking to the bus stop, you know?
Yeah, well, there were no buses in the time
no,
of
in my
Iraq.
In my time, I mean, I...
What was the means of transportation then?
Mostly fear.
Fear transported you?
Fear, yes. You would see an animal would growl, you would go 2 miles in a minute. See?
But I suppose you
had... Fear would be the main propulsion.
Yes, but I think most people are interested in living a long and fruitful life as
yes.
you have. You mentioned...
Fruit is good, too. You mentioned fruit, yeah. Is fruit it? Kept me going for 140 years once when I was on a very strict diet, mainly nectarines. I love that fruit. It's a half a peach, half a plum,
sir.
But it's a hell of a fruit.
Sir.
I love it. Not too cold, not too hot, you know,
sir.
Just nice.
What has been
Even
your...
our rotten one is good. I love them so much. That's how much I love them. I'd rather eat a rotten nectarine than a fine plum. What do you think of that?
I can understand that.
Yes, that's how much I love them.
Yes, I can understand that.
Yes,
sir.
Some good things.
Sir, what did you do for a living?
Well, many years ago, thousands of years ago, there was no heavy industry. You know?
We know that.
You know? The most things that we manufactured or we made, the most things that we ever made was we would take a piece of wood, see, and rub it and clean it and look at it and hit earth with it and hit a tree with it.
For what purpose?
Just to keep busy. There was nothing to do. There was absolutely nothing to do. We had no jobs, don't you see?
What other jobs were there? There must have been something else besides hitting a tree with a piece of stick.
Well, hitting a tree with a piece of stick was already a good job. I mean, you couldn't get that job, you know?
What job?
Mainly was sitting and looking in the sky was a big job. And another job was watching each other was one thing. That was light work, looking at each other.
You were a matchmaker, I understand.
Ah, yes. I brought wondrous people together.
Do we know any of the matches you've made, the successful ones, say?
Well, Madame Curie.
Madame and Dr. Curie?
No, Madame Curie and Benjamin Franklin.
Now, just a moment. There's no record of Benjamin Franklin and Madame Curie ever having been... Oh, well, sir, I see. I don't want to go into that. I don't want it to go into that.
Why do you think he flew a kite all night?
This
he
is
really
gossip.
Cared for her.
Sir, I don't want to get... I don't want to...
And she liked him,
Fall
too.
To the level
she
of...
She gave him radium.
Oh, by the way, are you married?
I have been married several hundred times.
Several hundred
yes.
times?
Yes.
You have been married? Do you remember all your wives?
One I remember well.
Which one was that?
The third one. Shirley. I remember her. A redhead.
I'm afraid to ask the next question. You had many hundreds of wives.
Hundreds and hundreds of wives.
How many children do you have?
I have over 42,000 children. And not one comes to visit me in an afternoon.
Oh, that's
yes.
terrible, sir.
You bet. How they forget a father, sure. That's how they...
That's awful, sir. It's really... You mean to say there isn't one daughter that
many
favors
daughters,
you.
But they, you know how they are. Children, good luck to them. Let them go and be happy. I don't want, listen, let them be happy. As long as they're happy, I don't care. But they could send a note and write, how you pop, how you doing, pop, you know.
They
something.
Don't. None
no,
of them.
They don't.
Sir, you must have known some great men in your time. You did travel throughout
I
the world.
I knew the great and the near great.
Could I ask you about some of these?
Certainly. I'll tell you the true, whether I knew or not.
For instance, people are very interested in somebody like Joan of Arc. A lot has been written about her, and we read a lot about her.
Ah, what a cutie. Joan of Arc.
You knew Joan of Arc.
I went with her, dummy. I went with her.
Nowhere in history do we know of Joan going with anybody.
Well, they don't print that. They don't print everything.
You didn't marry her?
No, I didn't marry her because she was on a mission, you know.
Yes.
She used to say to me, I got to save France. I used to say, look, I got to wash up. You save France, and I'll see you later. After you'll save France, I'll wash up, you know.
How did you feel?
Her and her way, me and mine.
Yes.
You know?
How did you feel about her being burnt at the stake?
Terrible. See, I didn't know.
Sir, how about some of the legendary characters who supposedly might have existed? For instance, Robin Hood. Did he exist?
Oh, yeah. Lovely man. Ran around in the forest.
Did he really steal from the rich and give to the poor?
No, he didn't.
He didn't?
He stole from everybody and kept everything. That's what
well,
he did.
Well, how did legend... How did legend spring up that he was
he
such
a... He had a fella, Marty. Marty, the press agent, ran in all the papers and wrote in scrolls. He took from the rich and gave to the poor. Who knew?
I see.
Who knew? He'd give you such a knock in the head when they robbed you, you wouldn't remember anything anyway.
So in other words,
he was a tough guy.
I hate to have our legendary figures smashed like
well,
this.
Well, I hate to smash them for you.
Yes. Did you know King Arthur? Did he exist? Did you know
Oh, yes.
Arthur
king
and the Knights
Arthur
of the Round Table?
Very important man. Wasn't yeah. only a king.
What do you mean he had
He owned four apartment buildings. He was some man.
He did. And, and the Knights of the Round
sure.
Table existed?
No round table.
There was no round table?
Only when he ate with his family was a round table.
Yes.
And when guests came, knights came, they would open it up and put in the leaves. So it was King Arthur of the Oval Table.
Oh, I see. I really? See. And is it true in those days that the knights were so gallant they would really fight for a
yes,
lady's it was, handkerchief?
Oh, a handkerchief was one of the big fights.
They really?
You happened to stumble on one of the terrible fights well, of the... When a lady would lose a handkerchief, two knights would go at each other on horses. With long spears, you know? And run at each other and go to kill each other to get that handkerchief.
Why was that?
Because there was no Kleenex.
I see.
Once a knight got that handkerchief, he blew his nose pretty good.
I see.
I never had a handkerchief.
When did... Oh, well, I don't want to ask you about the origination
sure.
of the handkerchief, but, sir, would you discuss with us, for instance, somebody like William Shakespeare?
About a pussycat.
Now, wait, are you saying that you knew
about
him personally?
About a pussycat.
You did know him personally.
Oh, but that little beard, but that cute hair.
And as...
Oh, but he was good and smart.
Yes,
was he smart?
It was reputed, and I guess you're agreeing, that he was the greatest writer
oh,
of
no.
all time.
Oh, no. Hey, hold up. Hee-haw, whoa.
What do you mean, sir? You just said he was brilliantly
whoa,
smart, and I said he was
no,
the greatest
sir.
Writer
a
of all...
A cute man and a pussycat.
Yes, but not a great writer?
Not a good writer at all.
But he was not a great writer.
Shakespeare was not a good writer, no. He
well,
was
how can
a
you
dreadful
say that?
Writer.
Well, he wrote 37 of the greatest works.
Did you ever see the original, the first folios?
You mean they were edited by somebody
never
else?
Never mind edited. Did you see the folios?
No, I never saw them. Did you see them?
I saw the folios. You want to see what they were? With blots, with ink, but a nail that looked like a T, but an M, you didn't know it was an M. An O could be a P. Every letter was cockeyed and crazy. Don't tell me he was a good writer. He had the worst penmanship I ever saw in my life.
Oh, I see what you mean, sir. I see. But he did. He did, as it was reputed, he did write 37 of the greatest plays of
38.
All.
38.
Well, I only know of 37. Would you care to look at this list, sir?
That is the list that has come down through the ages.
Those are the 37.
The
are there
list.
Any that should be there?
Yes.
What's that?
Queen Alexandra and Murray.
I never heard of that, right? No, I never did. Is there any copy of this in existence?
This is a play that I put invested money in.
Well, it probably was the only one that didn't come to light.
Come to light? It closed in Egypt.
Well, sir, the father of modern psychiatry was Sigmund Freud.
Sigmund Freud. He was a good basketball player. Very few people know that.
Sigmund Freud?
Yes. He was short, but he could dribble good.
Now, we didn't. I just saw a play on Freud, and it wasn't suggested in the play at all.
They left out the whole basketball.
They didn't discuss it at all.
Oh, get out of there.
Yeah, really, sir. Just...
They don't mention it?
No.
He won his letter in that.
I thought he won his letter in medicine and literature.
You see why they didn't mention him? Because he used to set up the shots. He wouldn't take shots himself.
I see.
That's why he probably...
I see, yeah.
Unnoticed in his greatest thing, basketball.
Sir, did you know Rembrandt van Rijn?
We called him Rembrandt.
You knew him?
Yes. You know, Rembrandt was one of the first to use the roller.
What? How can you possibly... The roller, you mean the roller?
The little roller, yes.
No.
Only for the background. Rembrandt didn't eat much. You know, he used to... money always went for paint, and the money always went for paint. Occasional girl, and then paint. And paint, and paint, and then a girl, then paint, and a girl, then paint, and then for a long time, just girls.
Sir, I read somewhere that you lived in Boston during the American Revolution. Did you know Paul Revere?
An anti-Semite bastard.
Didn't like Paul Revere.
He hated the Jews.
He hated the Jews. No. He was
like
a hero. How could you call an anti-Semite?
He warned these. He was afraid they were moving in. He had fear that they were going to go in the neighborhood and move in.
No.
They're coming. The Yiddish, they're coming.
No.
All night he was yelling.
Were you living in that neighborhood at the time?
I was there. I heard him yelling.
He was
myself.
Yelling, the British are coming.
Oh, my God.
And you moved out.
The British are coming. Oh, I'm going to have to send his wife a note.
Oh, you maligned the man. You mean for all these
day,
years, for
I
almost...
Didn't know it. And I didn't go to his funeral. Oh, my God.
For 200 years,
you
have maligned the man.
Oh, I'm glad we spoke.
Oh, I'm glad we spoke about it. I better ask you about some more of these people.
Oh, wait, let me recover. Wait.
Sir, you lived, of course, during the time of Christ.
Oh, I knew him. A nice boy.
You knew Jesus?
Oh, he's a nice, lovely, thin, a nice little boy.
Yes. I mean, is he as
wore sandals?
He wore sandals.
Wore sandals.
Very much as he's pictured today in the motion pictures that we see of him.
Well, they made a travesty of it.
You mean the Jesus Christ
superstar? Throwing over the tables and knocking over things.
Well, didn't Jesus behave that way?
No, he was quiet, a quiet lad.
He didn't do that?
No, he came in the store. He never bought anything.
You had a store.
Yes.
Oh, I see. You were a merchant. By the way, did you know any of the apostles? Did you know the 12?
I knew them all, sure.
Did you know the 12
apostles? I knew they came to the store. I knew them well.
Oh.
Sure.
You knew them, huh?
Absolutely.
Could you tell us a little about them? Who are they, first of all?
There was Ben, Murray, Al, Richie, Saul, Abe.
No. Wait. That's not the apostles.
Wait, that's the William Morris Agency. Wait.
Well, that's the same stuff,
I see. You know.
Sir, is there anything you want to tell us about Jesus that we don't know, that we should know? Because the history and the mystery of Jesus is really one of the most fascinating things in the history of man.
He was a carpenter.
We know that.
Oh, that's all I had left.
Well, everybody knew.
Yeah.
So there's nothing new you can...
Yeah,
no new
I
light.
I thought I'd shed that new light, but you all
was
know
Was he a
that.
Good carpenter?
The best.
Did he ever do anything for you?
Yes, he made a cabinet for me.
Really?
Yes.
What kind of a cabinet?
Three drawers and two little drawers at the top.
Yes.
And
how much did he charge you for that?
4 drachmas.
How much is a drachma?
Drachma's about a half a buck today.
Did you know at the time that Jesus was building you this cabinet?
Oh, sure, I paid him. I wrote out the check to Jesus.
No,
I knew it.
No, I mean, did you know he was going to be the Jesus who would shake the world?
Are you kidding? If I knew it was going to be him, I would have made him a partner in the store. Who knew it was going to be a hit?
Sir, what was your diet like 2,000 years ago?
2,000 years ago, we only ate what God meant, the organic, the natural.
Like what?
Clouds, stars, rocks. We ate big things.
Yes, well, but they were, there was no nutrition in that. There was no nutrition in that. Didn't you? You had to keep searching.
Many, you don't know. Look, do you know many parts of a pine tree are edible?
Yes,
you
know I've heard that.
Yes. And did you know that pussy willows make a lovely dessert?
No, I didn't.
I didn't know.
Well, what else did you... What else did you eat just beside pussy willows? What about live things? Things that...
Oh, yes. You could eat insects, too, but, you
did
know...
Did you eat insects?
Yes. You have to be careful of the red ant.
Yes.
Because they're hard to kill. So if a few live ones are on your tongue, they'll eat your tongue before you eat them.
I see.
You have to be very fast, so the red ants.
You
eat
must
them
be very careful.
Because it's more or less a race with them. Who eats who, you know?
Well, now,
they're very quick.
You obviously don't eat red ants and rocks today because you can avail yourself of the foods that exist.
2,013 years old.
Yes.
Very careful.
What does your diet consist of today?
Very strict diet. Very strict. Almost nothing. No starches.
Mm.
No starches.
No starches.
No, so because starch turns to sugar. Sugar turns to diabetes. Diabetes turns to the grave.
I see. Right. So there are starches around.
No starches.
Starches around.
No meats, because meats are fat, and fat is cholesterol.
And fowl?
Cholesterol. And no fowl. Fowl is foul. You don't eat fowl.
No fowl?
Good for you. No. You know, the chickens eat crap.
So no, there's no starches, no fowl, no meats?
No meats and no fowl.
No, what about fish?
No fish, fish iodine. Too much iodine, you get a goiter, your eyes will spring out of your head.
I see, so you don't want any fish.
No, sir.
Well, then you live on vegetables.
No, and fruits and vegetables are very bad, very bad. They're very bad. They're roughage and they make tons and tons of gas. And I have to be very careful because if I make a blooge, I could blow myself out of this world.
Yes, at your age,
no
you're
gas.
Yes,
I'm not allowed to have gas.
Very brittle. I understand that. But so what do
very
you
very little.
So you have nothing to eat, that you've left yourself nothing to eat.
Cool mountain water. 10 degrees below room temperature. Just 10 degrees.
And
just cool mountain
and
water.
And that's all
just
you eat?
That.
That's all you eat all
that
day?
That and a stuffed cabbage. That's it. That's all I live on.
What? The stuff? Is that allowable on your diet? Is the stuffed cabbage allowable?
Who the hell cares if it's allowable? I love it. What am I going to live for, Frog? A little mountain water? You think I'm going to stay alive?
Sir.
Are you crazy?
You know, many people still do not believe that you are 2,000 years old, but it has been authenticated.
Yes, it has, certainly.
You are that.
I have a birth certificate in the land of Og. I don't carry my birth certificate around.
Why?
Because it's a boulder. It's inscribed on
it. Oh, I see, yes. Well,
can't that carry
would be
it.
Cumbersome.
No. Credit cards, that's enough.
Yes. Sir, yes. Are there any more secrets you're ready to divulge about why and how to live 2,000 years?
Well, one of the big things that's kept me rolling along singing a song is garlic.
Garlic has kept you alive? How can garlic keep you alive?
Well, garlic keeps you alive because, well, you know how you die, don't you? The scientific reason how you die is that the angel of death, see, rings your apartment bell and you let him in and bang, you know.
Comes
in and says, okay, Murray, this is it.
How does garlic help?
Usually comes at night, right?
Yes.
So before I retire, I'll eat myself a nice pound and a half of garlic. Then I lay down in bed, and I pull up my crazy quilt. And I'll starting to retire and snore.
And how does the garlic help?
Well, the angel of death, you know, comes in. He comes over to me, taps me on the shoulder. I say, who is it? And usually he goes, whoop! He takes right off.
He's
out the door.
That's an interesting theory.
Sure. You know about the kiss of death, right?
Yes.
Sure, he's not going to kiss me. I'm full of garlic.
I see. Sir, what did you do 2,000 years ago to entertain each other?
Were, broke a wing.
Well, no, were there...
Oh,
were there comedians?
Oh, sure. We
do you remember any of them?
No.
2,000 years ago?
Primitive days. Let me see. I remember one comedian gave us some laugh. Boy, we were hysterical.
Who was he?
Gave us some good laugh. Murray the Nut.
What did he do?
Oh, did he give us a laugh? A tiger came in the cave one afternoon, sauntered in, uninvited, naturally. Nobody asked for a tiger to walk in, I knew, right? Tiger came in, and Murray, you know, the joker, the tumbler, you know, the nut, he jumps up and he grabs the tiger by the tail and goes, and he went, yaha, yaha, yaha. And the tiger turned around and ate him up in a minute. And did we get hysterical? We were laughing.
Well,
was the best joke we ever had.
Well, sir, that's not very funny. That's
well, what did we have? RKOs then? That's all we had.
Yeah, but I mean, I would consider that.
That was the best we had. Murray took a tiger.
That was entertainment.
Yes.
But I would consider that in the realm of tragedy rather than comedy. How do you differentiate between tragedy?
It's your point of view. To me, tragedy, if it is, if I'll cut my finger, that's tragedy. It bleeds, and I'll cry, and I'll run around, and I'll go into Mount Sinai for a day and a half. I'm very nervous about it. And to me, comedy is if you walk into an open sewer and die. What do I care? That's comedy.
I see. That's your definition.
My finger is important.
I see. What did you have to know to be a doctor in those days?
The main thing you had to know was to say, I think he's dead. You take a finger, put it in their nose, and if they didn't say, hey, you take your finger out of my nose, they're dead, right? That's how you find out.
What do you consider the greatest medical discovery in the 2,000 years that you've lived to be? Would it be the advent of transplants of organs, the use of antibiotics, the heart-lung machine?
Liquid Prell.
Now, wait a minute.
Liquid
you
Prell.
Equate, no, you equate
Not
that
only,
with the
wait,
discovery
no,
of the heart-lung machine. I want an explanation.
Okay, the heart-lung machine
yes.
is in your medicine cabinet and falls out.
Yes.
It's going to break.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's true. But not the liquid
Prell. No, liquid
no,
Prell
it's
don't
in
break.
That plastic container.
Right. And what about the psychological aspects?
What psychological
aspects?
No, there's no psychological aspects.
Of liquid Prell.
It's a shampoo.
Get out of here. What's the matter with
it's
you?
It's more than a shampoo.
Don't you see what it's doing?
What
it's bringing families together. A mother of 42 and a daughter of 16 are talking for the first time. Don't you see? Oh, Mom, don't use too much. Oh, don't worry, it's concentrated. They talk to each other.
And you mean
bringing
that's the beginning?
Generation, bringing families together.
That's the beginning of a relationship.
Oh,
huh?
Sure, it's
the beginning of...
Entire families are being held together with liquid Prell. We owe a great debt to it, and it's green. If you put a pearl in it and hold it upside down, it goes very slow.
You obviously like that product.
I love it.
Okay. Sir, this world of ours is full of mystery and... What phenomena intrigues you more than any other in this world?
That's a hard question.
Well,
there's many different phenomena I'll tell you one that's very private if you promise everybody here will keep their mouth shut.
Well, is it something...
I'll say one that a phenomena that really puzzles you, a mystery that I don't want to talk, but I'll say it anyway.
Go ahead.
All right.
You're among friends.
After I eat asparagus and I make number one, such an odor, you know? Such a nutty flavor. I mean, that really puzzles me. Why there should be
well,
that?
Well, there must be some...
Just,
must be a,
why is that?
That's some chemical
I mean,
reaction. There must be some chemical
it's
reaction.
It's frightening.
Sir, in the 2,000 years you've lived, you've seen
yes,
a lot of changes.
Yes, certainly.
What is the biggest change you've seen?
In 2,000 years? The greatest thing mankind ever devised, that I think, in my humble opinion, is saran wrap. You can put a sandwich in it, you can look through it, you can touch it and put it over your face and pull around and everything. It's so good and cute, you can wrap it up.
You equate this
I love it. You can put 3 olives in it and put a little one. You can put 10 sandwiches in it and make a big saran. Whatever you want, it clings and it sticks. It's
you
great.
Equate this with...
You can look right through it.
You equate this with man's discovery of space...
That was good. That was good. That was a good thing.
Well,
space,
sir, we
space.
Don't have too much more time, but this is a world that is torn with strife. You, with all your knowledge, must be able to tell us how we all can be better citizens of the world.
If every human being in the world would play a violin, we would be bigger and better than Montevani.
We all here would like to know your code.
Well, all right. Is this it?
You're
my
on.
My farewell?
Your okay. farewell address.
Hello there. This is 2,000 years talking to you from the depths of back there when we was. Now I'm still and they not. And I just want to say, keep your smile on your face and stay out of a Ferrari or any small Italian car. Stay out of them. And I want to tell you that it's been a wonderful 2,000 years, and you've been a wonderful civilization, and it's been a thrill living for 2,000 years. And eat a nectarine. It's the best fruit ever made. That Pasba.
Yeah, it's Carl Reiner Mel Brooks with the 2,000-year-old man routines. I hope you enjoyed that. That'll do it for tonight's episode of Funny Stuff. Don't forget to join me next week for my exclusive interview with Jonathan and Darlene Edwards. I think you'll enjoy that. If you've never heard of them, you should listen because they really are wonderful. Coming up in April, we got Peter Sellers, early improv groups, British Rarities, Firesign Theater. Coming up in May, Brother Theodore, Flanders and Swan, all sorts of good stuff. The only really funny thing out there I have to recommend this week is a book called Not the Bible. It's a rather savage takeoff on the moral majority and the Bible itself. So if you are you think you might be offended by something like that, you probably would be, and you should avoid it. But for those that like savage satire, you'll probably like it a lot. If you want to write to me, it's Bob Claster, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard in Santa Monica, California, 90405. Join me again next week, and don't forget to keep that sense of humor exercise, because you never know when you're going to need it. Good night, everybody.
You had many hundreds of wives.
Hundreds and hundreds of wives.
How many children do you have?
I have over 42,000 children, and not one comes to visit me in an afternoon.
The classic comedy of Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner with The 2,000-Year-Old Man. This is Bob Claster. Join me Friday night at 9:30 for Funny Stuff with Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner. That's Friday night at 9:30 right here on KCRW. Hi, I'm Bob Claster, and what you're hearing is the inimitable song stylings of Jonathan and Darlene Edwards, incomparable musicians and close personal friends of Joe Stafford and Paul Weston. They'll be featured in a rare interview on Funny Stuff, Friday night at 9:30.